Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Is a double-edged sword. We've tested now 25 million people. It's probably 20 million people more than anybody else. Germany's done a lot. South Korea's done a lot. They call me, they say, the job you're doing, here's the bad part. When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people. You're going to find more cases. So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
All right, so the president gets slammed in social media for those comments at the Tulsa rally, the rally where he was furious that there weren't as many people that showed up that he thought were going to show up in a 19,000-seat arena in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But it looks like there may have been some sabotage at work. There'll be more stories, I'm sure, ahead this week on that. We'll dive into it and the actual COVID numbers. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, take a breath. We're all in this together. But we're here for each other, right? Absolutely. So here's the thing. Pete Navarro came out today and said, and he serves in the president's administration, he's an assistant to the president, director of trade and manufacturing policy. He said, listen, this was a joke. He was joking. He was this is what this was when he made this tongue-in-cheek comment when he was in, you know, Tulsa. That's what that was, meaning what he just said there about the testing, you know, et cetera. But when we look at the numbers in the U.S., I'll tell you, we've seen a spike in Florida, in Arizona, in the great state of Texas. Every single show I tell you what the numbers are because I think it's important to know. The death toll, 122,000. Those that recovered, 721,000. Love seeing those stories, hearing those stories. 2.32 million confirmed cases in the U.S. Now, Florida especially is worrisome because you had so many ding-dong people running around on the beaches who are like, yeah, man, it's a party. What are you talking about, COVID-19? And then some of those young people have apologized when they put themselves all over social media and were easily found and then came back and said, yeah, I had no idea. I'm sorry. I can't believe I got it or whatever. But you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Probably Florida gets up to 100,000 cases coming up soon because they're nearing that. And then the question is, how many recover? How many die? You know, that's the big thing. How many are recovering? How many are asymptomatic? How many are like DL Hughley, who the comedian who was in Nashville and fell over from exhaustion. Then they tested him for coronavirus, and sure enough, he had COVID-19. So he's going to stay in his hotel room for 14 days and quarantine himself, having no idea he was what they call asymptomatic. He just absolutely didn't know because you have these lingering symptoms or you have no symptoms and one day you're different from the day before. And I guess for anybody who's had it, that's what the scariest thing is. For the president, what was scary is the shock at the rows of empty seats, not expecting to find that. There were certainly Trump supporters there. Lots of presidents fans were on hand. 6,200, 6,500 is what some of the estimates are, but they expected much more. They even had an overflow area thinking that was going to be part of what was going to happen, but that didn't happen. What the president said on the stage is that we had some very bad people outside. They were doing some bad things. Protesters blocked one of three gates for a short period of time, that kind of thing. They had peaceful protests, but then there were some other protests, I guess, that were going on. But it didn't explode the way some people thought it would explode. There were people that camped out for days on end to make sure that they got into the Trump rally, and of course they did. People's temperatures were taken. There were some precautions taken. Nobody was forced to wear a mask. Lots of people did wear a mask, and this is the first of many rallies that are going to happen for the president, because in the past this is what certainly has worked for him. But one of the things that happened, I think, that was unexpected was the fact that you had people that were on TikTok, which is a social media platform, and they were spreading the word to register for the tickets. So the numbers look like 1 million people. In fact, 1 million people or so had registered to be at the rally so they could get a better sense for how many people were going to be there. And that wasn't the actual number, because it was a fake number. And more of that is being looked at, is how much is that true? Is that rumor? And I think it is true. I think it's true that those numbers jumped up because you had people that filled out those registrations that had no intention of coming. And did people back off because of that, because they knew they couldn't accommodate that? You know, who knows? The president also dealt with John Bolton this weekend. And John Bolton, he's got his book coming out next week. Did an interview with Martha Raddatz from ABC News. He said that Trump's White House was like living inside a pinball machine. So the former national security advisor comes out with this new book about his former boss. But remember, he refused to testify in the House impeachment hearings and then offered to testify in the Senate trial if he was subpoenaed. And, of course, Senate Republicans, they're not going to do that. They declined before voting to acquit. And to me, the one thing about John Bolton is he's trying to make some money on a book. And if he had this conviction, then he would have, if he had this conviction and thought the president was so wrong in as far as impeachment's concerning, he would have testified. To me, he is a coward. To me, he's a guy who writes a book called The Room Where It Happened, this memoir that Simon & Schuster is publishing. And of course, they're going to publish it, because controversial books sell about presidents or anybody with some fame. But if you look at the reasons for it, is he revealing anything that is going to make you go, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable? Is he going to reveal anything that you hadn't heard before? And to me, again, he's kneecapping the president that he could have kneecapped if he was that concerned about it, then he would have testified. Of course, it was easy to say, oh, if the Senate subpoenas me, because he knows damn well that wasn't going to happen. So as somebody stated, who also does a talk show, he's a washed-up guy. I mean, he's a washed-up, disgruntled guy, period. Some of what he says may be true. Some of what he says might be shocking. But again, do I put a lot of credence into what Bolton's saying? Do I think Bolton is the sole nail in the coffin of this administration? No. What are the Democrats doing? What is Biden doing? What does that look like? That's part of what we're going to talk about on the flip side when we talk about numbers in this version of We Can Count.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
We all need to do our part.
And show that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask to stop the spread of coronavirus and save lives.
Good reasons for the public and business owners to wear and offer face masks. But not just any mask. Cheap doesn't mean protection. Sunny-Bay.com has the best value of high-quality N95 or disposable face masks anywhere. Get disposable Level 1 face masks now, a 20-pack starting at only $12. Or a 10-pack of N95 respirator masks is only $34. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $35. Choose your level of protection at sunny-bay.com. Prices are low, but supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or N95 face masks. Ask about volume discounts available for all businesses. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. It's about the numbers. Sadly, one person was killed, 11 wounded in a Minneapolis shooting. Think of Hennepin Avenue, where that was the site of looting and destruction when there were protests against the death of George Floyd. Remember, that was almost a month ago, so it's kind of around that same area. It was an overnight thing. The 11 survivors had non-threatening life injuries. Thank goodness, non-life-threatening, rather, injuries. No arrests were made. The motive unclear as to what that was about. So some of the same businesses on the street, which had just finished repairing damage from last month, now have shattered windows from the shooting. People describe witnesses that, because they had a lot of 911 callers, that it just sounded like fireworks. You know, that pop, pop, pop sound of bullets. And there was one manager of a restaurant who said that he looked down because he was printing a receipt, and the timestamp when the gunshots, when he heard them, was 12:27, just outside the restaurant, and he saw the shooting, said at least two groups of people were firing weapons at each other. Who knows what that is? So the gunfire stops, victims were taken to the hospital, and there was shell casings that looked like they were from 3 different types of weapons. Boy, they sure don't need this in Minneapolis. And, of course, our mothership is in Minneapolis. We've talked about the people that work for the network who live in and around that area. And Eric, our technical maestro for the show. Eric, you've got friends that live down there. What do they say it's like?
Right now, I'm not too sure what it looks like now. Actually, yeah, around, like, Lake Street where they were rioting and stuff, I guess it everything's like they're bulldozing things and demolishing things and, you know, trying to clean up, I guess.
So they're still trying to clean up from what happened last time.
Yep, yeah.
Do your friends or people that you know, do they feel safe in the area now?
Not particularly. I'm not sure, though. Yeah.
You know, it's scary when something like that happens, right? Because you're insulated from things of that nature, and then all of a sudden it happens, and it is kind of shocking. And then to see the shooting almost around that same area, that's going to rattle some nerves, I would think.
Yeah, they say it's strange, kind of eerie, and things like that.
Yeah, and I've heard that description too. Thanks, Eric, that it's strange and it feels strange. And Eric told me off the air, and I've talked to other people about this. You know, this is a really kind of booming area. A lot of young people live there. This is really vibrant and happening, and now all this has happened in the last almost month, again, since George Floyd was killed. And it shows you how quickly things can change, and things certainly have changed since the death of George Floyd. All right, let's hit some other numbers, and gosh, there are plenty of numbers always talk about. That's why I started this segment, because numbers wow us, whether they're ugly or good or exciting, whatever it is, numbers is what we talk about it. In fact, I think it's so big, I wrote a speech about it, about, you know, what's your wow, and usually that has to do with some kind of a number of books you read, number of whatever. My mother, who died, gosh, 7 years ago, she was such a voracious reader. I'm giving you an example. She read 30,000 books in her lifetime. Honestly, that could be a little off. Could be more than that. But I know it was at least that. So if she was alive right now, she'd be very worried about her children and the state of the nation and what's happening. Because as she used to tell me, she just wanted good things for people. And she didn't understand why people couldn't disagree, because that's what we were taught, politically speaking, etc. And then move on. Move on with the conversation. Move on with friendships. We live in a much different time. No doubt about it. Let's go in this direction, because one of the things that has been interesting has been brands changing names because of being offensive, and you know, brands that weren't thinking of it before. But again, the nation has made a big turn. Eskimo Pie, Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, Cream of Wheat. They're all changing, and rebranding announcements are happening right and left at a time when companies are looking at boosting diversity efforts and combating racism in the wake of the death of George Floyd. So the latest was Eskimo Pie. They said that that's what they were going to do. And I saw a quote from Mike Jackson, the founder of this 2050 marketing, this Los Angeles marketing company that I had heard of before. And I was reading something and I saw this quote from him, and he said, "This is a real movement and this one feels really, really different." He said, "I think a lot of these brands need to look at the contributions or lack thereof that they have contributed to a lot of systemic issues." And that's what's happening. A lot of quick changes in what we're seeing. So, you had Dan Gasby, who's a former TV producer, back, gosh, 4 years ago, started a petition asking PepsiCo, which owns Quaker Oats, to replace Aunt Jemima with his now late wife, TV personality Bee Smith, one of the country's first high-profile black models, who went on to become an author, restaurateur, and a lifestyle maven. So, you know, again, your number there is he started that push over 4 years ago. How are they going to evolve that brand, and what are they going to decide that they're going to do with the brand? Like Cream of Wheat, criticized for using, you know, the grinning black chef on the packaging since the 1890s, and the mascot on early boxes was Rastus, who was a character of a former slave that was featured in minstrel shows. So now, looking at this, you're going to see big calls for big changes for branding. You know, you're going to see what's going to happen and how they're going to come up with what it is. Like I said, Eskimo is the latest. Eskimo pie is going to change because that's considered derogatory, and that's the move they say they're making because they don't want to do that. They don't want to offend. I was thinking about Land O'Lakes butter. They said they were removing the Native American woman's illustration. I just gotten one of the, I think I just gotten them maybe a couple of weeks ago, that has been on the package since 1928, and they're replacing it with Lands and Lakes instead. And this is, I think, something that you're going to see again and again and again and again and again. There'll be more rebranding announcements, and that's, you know, that's here to stay. That's not going to change. Prince William, hard to believe, to find something light, turned 38 years old. It seems like forever. His mother, Princess Diana, was timeless, right? She would pop up, you'd see her somewhere. Even if you just watched some tube once in a while, there'd be some story, there'd be some book, there'd be some something. And he turned 38. And for some reason, I guess I thought he was a little bit younger than that, but, you know, three kids. There were a lot of pictures released of William and his three children. And I guess Kate Middleton, his wife, took a lot of those pictures and popped them out so people, because, you know, when you're the royals, they're always all over you to get photos. And I guess she released those photos of him and the three kids. But how about that? Man, oh, man. Time flies, doesn't it? It does. It flies. Big time. All right, we move to technology. And there is five different gadgets I was reading about to assist in our lives amid COVID-19. And it's so interesting. One of them that I saw is this UV light. So smartphones, your iPhone, whatever, they get dirty. We keep hearing that it gets seven times dirtier than a toilet seat. And this was research that was done by the National Center for Biotechnology Information. And if you think about that, germs, bacteria, COVID-19, whatever, coronavirus, can live on the surface of your phone for up to 4 days. So I think this UV light sanitizer deal is pretty big. A lot of people are getting them. They have pouches and et cetera where you can just zip it up, press a button. It kills like almost 100% of the bacteria. That's one of the five. Cover for your keyboard. That's another thing. Think of what's happening there when you touch the keyboard. That's been really big. Mm-hmm. And there's others. Stay with us.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As predicted, COVID-19 outbreaks are sprouting up around the United States. The coronavirus death toll here is approaching 120,000, and there are more than 2.2 million cases. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf tells CBS's Face the Nation that the Trump administration is keeping an eye on areas with flare-ups of the disease.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force is on top of all of these outbreaks, looking state by state, county by county, whether it's Arizona, Texas, Florida, a number of these states that are having hot spots, that are having those upticks. So we're surging resources, medical individuals and the like, even individuals from the Department of Homeland Security. We're surging into those areas to understand what is the cause of that outbreak and address that proactively.
This is USA Radio News. The House is getting ready for a vote this week on a bill to grant statehood to Washington, D.C. Since D.C. is not a state, it doesn't have voting power in Congress, and that has long been a bone of contention for residents in the nation's capital. Presently, the population of Washington, D.C. is higher than the population in several states, but it has a congressional representative, and she cannot cast a vote. Supporters of the change say D.C. residents pay taxes, fight in wars, and are bound by federal statutes, so they should have a vote in Congress. But many Republicans oppose granting statehood to D.C. because its residents are predominantly Democratic. A stabbing spree that killed three people in a park west of London is being investigated as a terrorist attack. A 25-year-old refugee from Libya was arrested on suspicion of murder after the incident. Three other people were wounded on Saturday night in a city called Reddy. The suspect arrived a few years ago as a refugee after Libya's civil war. You're listening to USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of a gun owner population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Talk to this guy all day long and wait till you hear his story. He's got such a great story, and he's made me rethink some of the things that I'm eating, actually. Stan Yaki is in our virtual green room, and he's in our author's corner as well. He's written a couple of books, and the one we're going to talk about is Some Adventures Outdoors and in the Kitchen, A Lifetime of Adventures and Recipes. Stan, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So we did have a great off-air conversation, and you did make me think about some of the things that I was eating and some of the things I was doing. But let's explain to people, first of all, why did you write this book?
Well, Kate, I wrote this book after spending about 30 years in corporate land and left there and became an individual consultant. This was in the business aviation world, but it also freed me up a little bit to start thinking about what I'd done over my lifetime, fishing, hunting, outdoors activities, which I was still doing, of course. Living in Savannah, we had lots of opportunities. And I decided, well, let's write down some stories and see if we can paint a picture about my lifetime and all the enjoyment that I had over the years with friends and family. And then I was learning how to cook very slowly and without, a whole lot of training or whatnot, watching the Cooking Channel and the Food Network on occasion. And with my wife laughing in the background that I couldn't handle more than one dish at a time. But we worked through that, And so I said, okay, I've got all these stories that I've written now. I call them adventures. And gee whiz, what do you do with them? What does the world need when it comes to wild fishing game? And it occurred to me from having visited both online and actual bookstores, et cetera, there aren't a whole lot of menu-oriented books to help people when they have the opportunity to cook wild fish in game. And so I took a menu approach. And so each of the adventures in the book, and there are 25 in some adventures outdoors, has a menu that will help the reader or the chef enjoy taste, texture, temperature, and tint or color compatibility. Now, obviously, you can switch various side dishes or salads between menus, but it gives you kind of a roadmap if somebody were to show up on your front door. Be it a relative, a husband, a wife, or just a friend, and present you with a piece of venison or a striped bass that they happen to have caught, that afternoon. What do I do with this? And so that's the approach I took.
I love it. You told me a great story. You have to share this with the listeners about mountain goats and your daughter. Tell the world that story.
Okay, well, back in 1987, I had the opportunity, based on a lottery draw, for a mountain goat tag in the North Cascades of Washington, to hunt mountain goat. A very good friend of mine and his older brother accompanied me on two different outings up to 6,000 feet in the Cascades, and we brought home a goat. When I arrived home, and keeping in mind this is 1987, we didn't have cell phones. And so as I dropped off my hunting companion, I called my wife at her parents' house and told her that I was on my way home and that I had been successful in harvesting a goat. And so she told my children, my five-year-old son and three-year-old daughter at the time, Daddy's bringing home a goat. And so I arrived and I was in the kitchen preparing to, portion out the meat. And my daughter and children walked in, and my little daughter says, Daddy, Daddy, where's the goat? I want to see the goat. And so I took them all out onto the back porch, and I had laid the complete hide, on the deck. And that was not exactly what everybody had in mind.
I bet that surprised her. I love that story. And you told me she constantly brings that up to you now adult.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love it. I love
it. She and some of our neighbor kids to this day, we'll talk about, gee whiz, I rounded the corner of the house and there was a deer being processed, hanging from a tree limb.
Wow.
So I've had my not very family friendly moment processing my harvest.
Yeah, I love it. You said, like I said, you and I talked about what do you want people to know. What do you want people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think the main things, Kate, are that adventures in the outdoors are very, very important, I believe, to everybody. Whether you're hunting, whether you're fishing, doesn't matter, in the sense that getting out there and enjoying nature, enjoying what there is in terms of beauty, diversity of plants and wildlife. I could sit, and I have done this, I can sit on a stump and watch a herd of elk or a bunch of squirrels or whatever for, you know, for literally an hour, just watching them be who they are. And so my message or my intent with this book is, you know, look at the photos in the book. There are plenty. And see the kinds of things that I've been fortunate to experience over the years, and know that that is out there for you as well. If, you know, depending on what you do with it or whether you do it, and then if you do hunt or fish and harvest something, here's a collection of menus that you can apply to what you have in hand.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know how to match them up. And is that a great satisfaction to you to learn how to cook? Because, I mean, you've become pretty good, I would assume, Stan, in reading your book.
Well, I'm decent, so put it that way. People have said, oh, you should open a restaurant, or you should compete on Chopped or something like that. And the answer is, oh, no, that would be a very bad idea.
So you...
I do okay in my own kitchen, and I thoroughly enjoy cooking. Now that my wife is gone, sometimes challenging to make something fun and interesting just for myself, or frequently I'll call a neighbor and say, you know, if you haven't already fixed dinner, come on down, because I dearly love to cook and to share.
Yeah, I can imagine getting that phone call. Your neighbors rush to your house, I'm certain of it. So we have a couple of minutes left. Give me one of your great adventures. What was your favorite adventure? I know that's hard because you've been everywhere.
Favorite adventure. Oh, golly. That is very hard. I will say it's kind of a predecessor to an adventure in the book called Family Tradition. When I was 2 weeks shy of my 8th birthday in Washington State, my grandfather was visiting from Iowa. I didn't know much about ocean fishing. And so my family took him up to Nia Bay, Washington, which is on the Makah Indian Reservation on the northwest tip of the Olympic Peninsula. And we went king salmon fishing. Long and short of it is, I caught a 29-pound, 15-ounce king salmon,
ooh,
which for an almost 8-year-old kid was pretty special and pretty unusual. Fast forward, my son was 2 weeks shy of his 9th birthday, and my dad and I decided, well, it's time to take him salmon fishing as well. We had been salmon fishing out on the Puget Sound, but this was the big time, going out to the ocean at Nia Bay. And within 100 yards of where I had hooked my fish many, many years previous, my son hooked a nice king salmon, and we battled it for a while and brought it to the boat, and 29 pounds, 15 ounces. It was absolutely identical in size and weight.
Wow.
And so that was pretty wild.
Yeah, that's a great adventure. So you can tell there's lots of stories, lots of good stuff for you. Pick this up, some adventures outdoors and in the kitchen, a lifetime of adventures and recipes. I'm also going to throw this in. He's another book, some Southern Adventures Outdoors and in the Kitchen, a collection of Southern adventures and recipes. Both are great. Stan, thank you so much for joining us.
Kate, thanks for having me. And I hope everybody gets out there and has some adventures and eat what you harvest.
Ooh, I love that. Thanks, Stan.
Thank you.
Are you still still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over, why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more.
No more, no more, no more.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more.
Now what'd you say?
Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more.
All right. Lucky to have this next guest joining us. Mark Savard is so incredibly talented. Comedy Hypnosis. Right now we wouldn't have him because he would be too busy at Planet Hollywood and be wowing people all over the place with his brand of hypnotics, I'm going to call it. He is incredibly talented. And I realized after I had talked to somebody in his organization that I had seen Mark because I used to live in Vegas. So without further ado, let's introduce him to the masses. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me on, Kate.
So we gotta start off here. How do you get into this line of work? When you're a kid, do you like to make things disappear? Do you like to make people fall asleep? How do you do it?
Well, it's not something that you go to the high school counselor and it's one of the choices that they offer you. It's not like that at all. Believe it or not, I was actually trying to get into med school and in college, and then I saw a hypnotist show at the local nightclub, and I was fascinated how someone could use the power of words to modify someone else's behavior. So I really began researching just kind of on my own for my own curiosity. My friends got wind of it. And they said, hey, why don't you hypnotize us? So being in college with a whole bunch of college friends, the answer to that was absolutely. And I hypnotized them, and sure enough, it worked. And then here I am 26 years later and still haven't chosen it as a career. It's kind of happened to me.
So after 26 years, I mean, you've been in front of thousands and thousands of people. You've been on the tube all over the place, on all the big networks, all of that. And as I watch you and I remember seeing you, I think people, a lot of people, want to double dog dare you. Like, oh, yeah, this guy, you have some of those, what I call them, arm folders. No way is this happening to me. Do you love those challenges?
Well, there's something to be said about that in order to be hypnotized, it's not something that I can do against your will. So you have to be a willing participant. So anyone who crosses their arms and says, oh, you just try to hypnotize me, I bet you can't. They're usually right because it has to be, you know, hypnosis is an internal process. They have to follow along with the instructions I'm giving them, and then they can easily enter hypnosis at that point. That doesn't mean that someone who isn't sort of afraid of hypnosis by saying, oh, I don't want you to hypnotize me or you can't hypnotize me, is their way of saying, I'm actually afraid that you might be able to hypnotize me. And there's a slight difference in the two. And someone who is, what I'm mentioning, the latter, of course, can be hypnotized. And I love it when they participate on stage and they never thought they could be, and they end up being the star of the show.
Yeah, I've seen that before. So your first break, that's always the best, right? What was your first big break?
Well, I actually got a hockey team wanted me to perform for their year-end party, and they called me and they said, hey, do you want to do a show for us? And I'm like, well, I don't really do shows. And they're like, no, just the way you do with your, you know, because, well, I said, how'd you hear about us? Well, there's a friend of a cousin of a former roommate that was at your apartment when you were doing some hypnosis, and we want you just to do that. So I charged them $150, and I drove 5 hours one way to the place where that they were located, did the show, drove 5 hours back, and it was a huge success. And that first year, while I was going to college, I did 6 shows. The next year, 52. The year after that, 115. And then I called my parents and said, hey, I'm quitting college. I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm going to be an entertainer. And obviously, they were not pleased with this news. But now, 26 years later, they're my biggest fans. So it all worked out.
There you go. I love that. They're your biggest fans. All right, so tell us about the comedy part of that, because that's unusual. You know, people use hypnosis in different ways. I don't have to tell you that, but I love the fact that comedy is mixed into this.
Well, I mean, there's two types of hypnosis, really. There's the hypnotherapy side, you know, sports performance, peak performance, or stop smoking, or weight loss, or, you know, any type of therapy that involves the mind and human behavior. The other side of it is like a public demonstration of hypnotic phenomenon mixed in with the comedy or even just, like I say, some kind of demonstration. And in order for hypnotherapy to have survived or to have grown to what it is now, public demonstrations of hypnosis needed to happen. Performers, stage hypnotists basically paved the way for hypnotherapy to exist. So they kind of do work really hand in hand. And ironically enough, I actually do both.
Wow. I mean, it's fascinating. And you've done a lot of different things in your career. One of the things that you've done is you have performed on cruise ships, and we see what's happening to the cruise industry. What was it like for you performing on cruises? And we certainly know that other viruses and things have happened on cruise ships.
Well, I mean, as far as the performance aspect of it, it's such a great place to perform because people are, you know, for a better lack of terms, trapped in confined in one spot. So they all come to the shows. They all want to be entertained, and the crowds are fantastic, and the shows are great, and it is all a lot of fun. But you're also, you know, as you mentioned, with the, you know, the viruses that are traveling around, you're also confined, and you're emotionally in a different headspace. Unlike Vegas, for example, if something were to happen in Vegas, when we're performing and there's shows up and down the strip and a virus breaks out, you can leave town. You just get in your car and you go home. Well, that can't happen on a cruise ship. You are confined to the spot until the next time you can port. So there's a whole different mentality of what happens when these types of breakouts, you know, as far as viruses are concerned. You know, it really does kind of affect the human psyche a lot more than there's a freedom that's sort of lost is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so for you, you're there in Vegas, and it's your home. And what is it like to live with, like all of us, this uncertainty, but to see the, and I was a Vegas person, to see the strip just bare, just dark, and people not working?
A few days ago, I actually drove up and down the strip and shot a video of it and put it on my YouTube channel. And it is almost eerie. Unlike, I mean, a lot like other cities in this country, you know, they're all ghost towns right now. There's nobody on the streets. But Vegas, it's very strange because at any hour of any day, there was always people. You could drive at 8 p.m., midnight, even 4 a.m. There's still bumper-to-bumper traffic and people walking up and down the strip. They don't exist anymore. They're gone. And it is such an eerie feeling. I would have never in a million years thought that. I didn't even know the casinos actually had door locks on them because they've never locked the doors. If they're open 24 hours from the time they're open until the time they demolish the building to replace it with a new one. So it is really mind-boggling to see that this would happen. And it's funny because as a performer, you know, you always think to yourself, well, what happens if, you know, the casino gets sold or the theater gets closed or I lose my show? Well, I can go back to touring or I can go perform on cruise ships or I can perform in a college circuit, or I could perform at fairs and festivals or large venues or medium-sized theaters, but everything turns off at once in this type of a crisis. And it's such a, I mean, many people across the country, you know, have the same feeling right now where everything just shuts down. And yeah, it feels emotionally, you know, a little uncertain, and I can understand how, you know, the stress level goes up for people in this type of a scenario, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so promise me next time that I come to Vegas, because all of this is going to, all of this eventually is going to go away, and it's going to be like a dream, a sad dream, and then we move on, and we'll be neutralized from it. Promise me you'll show me how to hypnotize somebody when I come there.
It's ironic that you ask that because I actually teach classes on hypnosis, and you don't have to be a hypnotist or you don't have to want to be a hypnotist. I teach the general public on how to do hypnosis. I mean, from anybody who wants to learn about their subconscious, how it works with human behavior. So if you have any doubts that I can't teach you how to hypnotize, hypnosis is so easy to learn. I mean, I could teach my 7-year-old how to hypnotize.
Nice.
It is not difficult. It's a scientific process, and that means I can teach you.
All right, so we go to marksavard.com/training, by the way, and you can do it online. That's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep, but we're doing it in person, and we're going to film it, and we're going to pump it out all over the place. He did it! I love it. Mark, thank you so much for hanging with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, anytime.
All right, so how about that? What would that be like, driving down the strip, and, you know, there it is. It's not the strip that we all know. In fact, the last time I was in Vegas last year, it was so jammed, of course, because now it's bigger, badder, better. And even when I lived there, it was like that, and I liked it. I mean, it was, everybody came to see me. I've talked about this on the air before. Everybody that ever met me came to see me. And to have my mind imagine that is just crazy. But check Mark out. He is so, so talented. Rick Cerrone is coming up next. We're talking a little Yankees and baseball. No opening day. What? Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warships? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.